Please be. Yeah, okay, I'll do my best. All right. Turn your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2. This morning, we're going to continue in our series, The Wonder of Christmas. So far in our study, we've seen that Jesus came at the right time. There was no better time than when Jesus came. We learned that Jesus came to the right place, that Bethlehem was prophesied to be the birthplace of the Messiah. Last week, we learned that Joseph and Mary were the right couple to be the earthly parents of the Messiah. We saw that Mary was favored. We saw that they were both faithful to God. And we also saw that they had no choice, that they were chosen by God for the task, and that alone made them the perfect couple to be the parents of the Son of God. Today, as we continue in our series, y'all aren't going to believe this after what we just sung. God is God. I mean, He's unbelievable. Today, as we continue in our series, we're going to see that God chose another group of people for a task during the time of the birth of His only Son. Church, God chose those who would worship Him. God's good, is He not? When He was born. The title of this morning's message is The Right Worshipers. So we've had the right time, the right place, the right parents. Now, this morning, we're going to see the right worshipers. Now, church, as we've studied the life of Christ for several years now on our Wednesday night class, we've seen that many times where Jesus was not given the respect that the Son of God deserved. We saw how the Jewish authorities treated Him and how those who came to serve denied Him. But we have also seen many people throughout the life of Christ who did sacrifice and did worship Him. The sad truth is that in Scripture, we see more that treated Jesus with disdain than those who worshiped Him. It's almost like the day that we live in, isn't it? We see more people in our world today treat Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Messiah, the true Son of God, with disdain than they do with unbelievable worship. Even those who were the closest to Jesus, his apostles, did not fully believe that He was the Son of God, their only Messiah, until after His resurrection from the dead. This morning, we're going to see God call on men to worship His Son. So let's look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 8.
Luke chapter 2, verse 8. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch over the flock. Then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today a Savior, who is the Messiah, is Lord, was born for you in the city of David. There will be a sign for you. This will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly angels sitting quietly while everybody else sang. Is that what y'all's Bible says? It's odd because mine doesn't say that either. Listen to what mine does say. Suddenly, there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with angels praising God and saying, and do you think they said it like this? "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people He favors." Because that's how we worship God a lot of times, isn't it?
Glory to God in the highest. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah.
But that's not what I know. No, listen. Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people He favors. When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby, who were lying in the feeding trough. After seeking them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were all amazed at what the shepherds had said to them.
But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for coming. And Lord, we thank you that you came for us. And Father, I pray that you would still our hearts, still our minds, still everything that's around us. Help us to just be still and hear a word from you this morning. Not because of me, the messenger, God, but because of you, how great you are, how wonderful, how magnificent you are. Help us to just bask in your wonder and your glory this morning, because you are amazing. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Church, what we just heard, what we just read in our our scripture this morning, we were witnessing the newborn, we were witnessing those who came to worship the newborn King, Jesus. They came to worship him. And it's something that we should do on a weekly basis, a daily basis, an hourly basis. We should worship our King. We were made from the tops of our heads to the tips of our toes to worship our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are to be a walking, talking billboard for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And quite frankly, we're not. We're not. As you drive up and down the highway, which I've done too much here lately, you see billboards, all kinds of billboards. You've got medical procedure billboards. You've got car dealership billboards. You've got food promotion billboards. You've got all these kinds of billboards. But you also have these billboards that have been up there for a while that nobody's taken care of. And as you're driving down the road, if you like looking at commercials as you're driving down the road, you look up at this billboard and you have to really try and figure out what it is that this billboard is trying to market, because it's faded. It's not projecting the message that it once was projecting. And church, that's how we are as a church today. It really is. The older we get, the closer we get to the time that Jesus comes, listen, the louder we should become, the clearer our message should be. Our witness should be strong for the Lord. This morning, we're seeing these witnesses that God brought, and we're going to see what happened to them. The first thing we see this morning in our scripture is a group of shepherds. Shepherds who were out in their fields watching over the sheep at night, the very same night that Jesus was born. These men were in the same region or the same location as Jesus. Now, I can only imagine that these men were minding their own business, listening to noises that could be something coming to harm their sheep. Verse 9 tells us that all of a sudden, without any warning, the angel of the Lord stood before them, just stood right there before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and the shepherds were terrified. They were absolutely terrified. Now, I don't know if y'all can relate to this or not. I used to hunt. Courtney, I used to hunt. Okay? That used to be very important to me, but Jesus came into my heart and filled my life, and now it's not. But I'll never forget one of the last places I hunted in around Union, South Carolina. I would always get in my stand about an hour and a half, 2 hours before the sun came up. I was just, I didn't want to leave any trail, any scent. So I'd get in there, and it was a cold morning, and I had my deer stand on my back, and I had I had tree hooks. I hunted in a lock-on stand, and I had my rifle and fully camouflaged. I had sprayed my clothes down. I was tiptoeing through. I mean, but you couldn't hear me. I was a ninja, y'all. I was tiptoeing through the woods. And where I was hunting this particular morning was a big open field. I had my back to the field. The wind was in perfect position. I mean, it was pristine. I mean, rut was just coming in, and I knew this was going to be the day. Courtney, this was going to be the day. It's going to be the day. And, I mean, I was tiptoeing. I mean, I was in my mind. You had to be quiet, but in my mind, I was doo-doo-doo, doo-doo-doo, Mission Impossible, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. And, I mean, I was walking down the road, didn't step on a leaf, a stick, nothing, just perfectly quiet. And something unbelievable happened. Y'all know what I did? I tiptoed and I walked up on a big buck. And I didn't see him, no flashlight. I didn't see him, but he saw me. And y'all listen, when you walk up on a buck, they become startled. Yes, they do. And they make noises. And this dude blew and started stomping. And I don't know how close I was, but it felt like I was like this close to him. And I'd about lost every faculty in my body. What were you, Brother Kyle? I was terrified. The thing in which I was going to hunt, I became hunting me. I was terrified. I came face to face. Now, this is what happened, and greater, with these shepherds. They were out in a field at night. It was pitch black dark. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, the angel of the Lord appears to them. Do you think they were afraid? Scripture says they were terrified. Well, rightly so. Rightly so. They were scared to death. Now, who should have been the worshipers to the newborn Messiah? Now, we see this morning in our scripture that God calls, he heralds in these shepherds. But just think about who should have been the worshipers of the Messiah that day. Jewish authorities, priests, devout Jews who had studied scripture and biblical prophecies. They should have been the ones lined up to worship. Listen, they should have seen in scripture, just as we can look at scripture today and see that we're growing closer and closer and closer to the time of Christ's return. We can look at the parable of the fig tree and watch Israel. And brother, we can know that our time is drawing near to when Jesus is coming. We can prepare. Church, they had signs as well that the coming of Christ was coming. It was closer and closer and closer. They knew in Old Testament prophecy where exactly, we learned 2 weeks ago, where he was going to be born. They should have been lined up waiting for the Messiah to be born. But they weren't. They weren't. They were not there because they had no clue Jesus had been born. Why do you think God did not send an angel of the Lord to them instead of the shepherds? Why didn't he send angels to the priest and the Jewish authorities and all the Jewish nation? Well, there's a good reason. They were not there because they had no clue Jesus was even going to be, he was even born. Because their hearts were cold and hard to everything that they took the most pride in. They thought that they knew the mind of God, and God on this day showed them that they knew nothing of who he was. Isn't it sad when our actions show that we know very little about God? The things that we say, the things that come out of our mouth, the things that we do show that God is not a part of us. God is not living in us. That's what we see this morning. God, listen, those Jewish authorities, the Jewish people, the Jewish priests, none of them were there when their Messiah was born. But shepherds were. Shepherds were. The ones who said they love God the most were not present. But shepherds were. Now, church, have you ever wondered why it's so significant that God sent the angel of the Lord to shepherds? To shepherds. Now listen, get this. Warren Wiersbe says this about the shepherds. By visiting the shepherds, the angel revealed the grace of God toward mankind. Shepherds were really outcast in Israel. Their work not only made them ceremonially unclean, but it kept them away from the temple for weeks at a time so that they could not be made clean. They were unclean, and they could not make themselves clean to go into the temple and to be in the presence of the Lord. God does not just call the rich and the mighty. God calls the poor and the lowly. Church, God revealed the birth of his son to dirty, outcast shepherds, the meek and not the proud. Shepherds were not easily fooled. They were practical men of the world who had very little time for fantasy. If they said they saw angels and went and found the Messiah, you can bet you could believe every word that they said. God selected hard-working men to be the first witness to his son had come into the world. Shepherds. Dirty shepherds. Now, I want y'all to understand something. I want y'all to see something. I want y'all to believe what the pastor is getting ready to say something to you here this morning. We were made to worship Jesus. We were made through instrument, through song, through testimony, through actions. We were made to worship Jesus. I want you to understand this. If you don't do what you are called to do, God will find somebody to do what you were called to do, and that's worship Jesus. And if you won't worship Jesus, why don't you stand aside and let me get in there and worship Him for you? Hey, listen, we were created to worship Him, to praise Him, to glorify His name. Don't y'all understand that Scripture says the rocks wish that they could cry out? What in the world would this, what would our world sound like if the rocks cried out the way we were created to cry out to Jesus? Oh, that'd be amazing to hear mountains cry out to the Savior of the world. Wouldn't that be amazing to hear? I believe one day we're going to hear it. I really do. Now, church, we see at the end of verse 9, that the shepherds were terrified when the angel appeared to them. But we soon saw that the angel qualified himself as one to be trusted. He said, listen, calm down. You can trust what I'm saying to you. Wiersbe says, for the first time in centuries, the glory of the Lord had returned to the earth. Now, as we read the last sentences of the book of Malachi, And we look all the way over here to the genealogies in the book of Matthew. What's in between that, what is it called? Intertestamental period, or what else, Dan? 400 years of silence. See what you're missing on Wednesday night? Y'all thought y'all knew it all. Listen, hey, it's free. We don't charge any extra to come sit and listen on Wednesday night. It's called the 400 years of silence, the intertestamental period. 400 years of silence, that means God was... No, He wasn't completely silent. He didn't speak through prophets, but He was working. He was making a way for His Son to come. But listen, as you close the book of Malachi, as God has made His last proclamation to His people, He's not giving up on them, but listen, He's thrown His hands up. He said, look, you know, this is your last warning. If you read the book of Malachi, it is a strong, powerful message to His people. The last one they'd hear. And for 400 years, you don't have any prophetical words being spoken. Real prophetical words. You always have a loony bin who says they're a prophet and they're not. Right? You can go online and pay $100 and you can put prophet in front of your name and people will call you prophet. And I'll call you a false prophet. 400 years of silence. And this is how God breaks that silence. Church, we ought to be excited. This is how God breaks His silence. He is silent no more. And He hasn't been since this time. This heralded in a time of unbelievable worship. Or it should have. It should have. Now, these shepherds were the first to experience the returning glory. The angel told them to not be afraid, and He had come to proclaim to them. The angel told them that the Savior was born, where He was born, and how they could know it was Him by seeing Him wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. Now, right about now, church, some doubt must have arisen in the minds of these shepherds. They might have been, you mean to tell me that God in His infinite wisdom allowed His Son to be born in a manger? I don't know about that. I mean, think with me. The angel of the Lord came and He shined His glory about Him and He makes this proclamation and they're like, I'm just not sure. You know, we know what goes on in a manger. After all, we're shepherds, Mr. Person who calls yourself an angel. Just as they thought, that thought may have been entering their minds, the silent night, the silent sky, filled with what Scripture describes as a heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heavens and peace on earth to all people He favors. What they had just seen was enough to satisfy any doubt that had been in their minds, and they went on their way. Church, God's praise team is what we just saw. God's praise team. Why is praise and worship so important? Why is it? As we look at this story, we see praise and worship. It ushers in the presence of God. Do you know, I believe it was an old-time pastor by the name of Mordecai Ham. And he had a song leader. And he would go out and do these great revivals. And Justin, this is what he'd do. He'd send his praise worship leader out there, and he would have him lead in praise and worship to the congregation. And he would sit in the back, and he would pray. And he'd pray. And sometimes it would be four or five songs. Sometimes it would be two or three songs. Sometimes it would be 10 or 15 songs. He didn't get up to preach until he felt the Holy Spirit of God ushered into that congregation. He said, it's useless for me to preach until the Holy Spirit's presence was in that building. That's why worship is so important. That's why our worship is so important. Can I tell you, as your pastor, I've sat down here and I've gone through praise and worship just like you have. And it's almost like a spiritual thermostat in the church. You can feel your presence, your praise and your worship, whether it's true praise and whether it's true or whether it's fabricated. Hey, come on now. There's been times where I've had to get up and, I mean, the praise team was wonderful. It's not them. It's our praise wasn't worth anything. And I've tried to preach behind it, and it's just like, whoa, golly, that was tough. I've gotten in the car to Amy and said, that was really hard to preach this morning. And then there's other times where, I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about. We start singing praises unto God, and you can feel the holy presence of God fill this place. And I get up here and preach, and it's like the easiest thing I've ever done in my life. I mean, it's like God is with us. You know why? Because God is with us. Something I want you to see here in this scripture, and I pointed it out several times since I've been your pastor at Christmas time. Look at this. It says, listen to the proclamation of the heavenly host. He says this, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors. I'm getting away from my mic. I'm sorry. Do you know why we don't have peace in this earth? Why we don't have peace in America, why there's so much division, why you don't have peace at your house, and why you don't have peace at the job, and why you don't have peace within yourself? Because you do not glorify God in the highest. If you will glorify God in the highest, you will have peace on this earth. Listen, nobody can take that peace away from you. You freely give that peace away for not glorifying God the way he deserves to be glorified. Got quiet. Not many amens there. That was an extra. That wasn't even in my sermon. Verse 15 through 17, church, tell us that these shepherds were now overwhelmingly convinced. After this heavenly host, they were overwhelmingly convinced, and they went to find baby Jesus. And when they found him, something amazing happened. Look at verse 17. Verse 17 says this. It says, after seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. Church, they had to go tell somebody. When they saw the heavenly host, the angel of the Lord, they weren't totally convinced. They saw the heavenly host, listen to the proclamation, listen to the praise and worship to God, and they were totally convinced. And because they were totally convinced, they had to go tell somebody. Anybody who would listen, they were going to tell. How is it that you sitting here today have experienced not only the birth of Jesus, but you know the full story of the life of Jesus, and you do not feel the same compelling to go and tell the world? Church, anybody, everybody that you have encountered this Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You mean to tell me that God only wanted these little dirty shepherds to tell their story? That's it? Brother Frank, in all of Christian history, God appointed these dirty, unclean shepherds to tell the story, but nobody else. That doesn't make sense, does it, brother? It really doesn't. But he does. He does want us to tell our story. He does want us every single day. We have a miraculous story to tell. All of us do. Well, Brother Kyle, my testimony is not that spectacular. Maybe not to you, but the person who needs to hear it, it's going to be amazing. I wasn't raised in church. My parents didn't go to church. My mom still does not go to church. I am the black sheep in my family. I really am. And I'm not saying that in a prideful way, but I'm saying it in a way that God changed me. Why? Because I sought him. I knew there was something missing in my life. I knew that I was missing out on something. I tried to fill that void with everything but Jesus, and it never would get full. I was never satisfied until I met Jesus. Church, you have an unbelievable story to tell. I just can't figure out why we're not telling it. Well, Brother Kyle, how do you know that I'm not telling it? Look around. Look at the empty seats. If we were properly telling the story that God changed our lives, if we were excited, if we had to walk through those doors and we experienced what these shepherds experienced, listen, we'd have to come back tonight and preach another message. This place would be slam full with people who wanted to hear what changed your life. But the story did not end with these shepherds' testimony, church. Look at verse 20. Verse 20 says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. This started, did it say how long it lasted? When it ended? No, they were praising God. They were praising God because they were in the presence of God. Well, Brother Kyle, maybe if I was in the presence of God, I would do the same thing. Scripture says, where two or more are gathered, there am I also in your midst. He is here this morning. Well, I can't feel him. Well, maybe you don't belong to the same God that I do. Church, let me tell you what should be taking place in each of our lives, not only today, but every day. Because we have experienced the miracle of Jesus in our lives. We should be telling everyone we encounter. And by telling others what happened in our lives, it ought to cause such joy that we are in a constant state of worship for the one who did change our lives. Is this who you are? Are you in a constant state of worship? Is this who you truly want to be? Church, it could be the reason that we celebrate Christmas each year is because we need to be reminded of the true wonder of Christmas. It's a wonderful time. It's a time full of wonder. But we need to take the time and experience that wonder. God did something amazing when he came to this earth. He did something amazing when he died for our sins. And he did something absolutely amazing when he entered our lives and changed us. Why aren't we telling the world? Why aren't we as excited as these dirty shepherds who were unclean, that were ceremoniously unclean to step in the presence of God, but God stepped in their presence? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, I pray that you would change our hearts to help us to be worshipers in you. Help that worship so bubble up inside of us because we know what you've done for us. The lengths, the heights, the depths that you went to save our sorry souls, Lord. Let that resonate within our minds right now as we come to this time of invitation. And God, let all that we know that you did for us help us to glorify you. And let that glory bring joy in our hearts. Not because of us, because of you, Lord. The only reason we don't have peace in our hearts, God, in every aspect of our life, is because we're not worshiping you the way we should. Help us to worship you the way these shepherds worshiped you this morning in our scripture, every day. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come down to the altar this morning? Will you come down to this altar? If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus, you don't even know what I'm talking about the peace of Jesus. If you want to accept Christ as your personal Savior and experience an unbelievable Christmas, I'm going to be standing down here at the front. I'll show you what the Bible says every person must do. I'm going to tell you what Jesus said every person must do to be born again. Will you come? As the music plays, will you come?